Hi, everyone. This is a traffic and safety meeting held on March 16th. Chairman Reeves?
Here.
Commissioner Chase?
Muted, Pat.
Here.
McGillis?
Here.
Common?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Bosco?
Thank you for coming tonight. Last time and over the pandemic, we've tried to do these. We have done them by Zoom, and the last meeting was hybrid. Pretty difficult. So we encourage more people to come in person today, and but we do have a few people participating by Zoom, so we'll try to accommodate both. Why don't we start with adoption of the minutes from our last meeting, January 19th. I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
In the minutes.
Okay, you're voting on the minute. Hey, Pat, we're taking roll on the approval of the minutes. Are you in favor of or against adopting them?
A favor.
Yes. Carol?
Yes.
Commissioner Bosco?
Yes. All right. We have a few things on the agenda, and then we also, you know, have an opportunity for public comment. On the agenda, we have Mr. DiPolito, who was here last time to speak about Linden and Vine. Is Ryan Blocker here or on the phone? He spoke to us before about in Washington. We have Ms. To speak about Thatcher and the area between Chicago and North. And I'm sorry, ma'am, what was your name again? Yeah.
Oh, Julie.
Julie from Patterson. Sent in an email and wanted to address Lake and do you mind waiting and until the end?
No.
Why don't we start with Mr. Ippolito because I'm and do you want to speak today? If you would, if you'd take the podium and just speak into the microphone, tell us, give us your name and where you live.
Yes, my name is Vito. Last name is Ippolito. I live at 236 Keystone Avenue. And first off, I genuinely appreciate the board's attention to this matter. I'm sure you get a lot of these types of requests. Kind of provide a brief recap for those that didn't attend the last meeting. I was requesting an analysis of the traffic that goes by on Keystone Avenue. Just, I guess that would be north of Washington, because I had observed that there was a lot of speeding that was occurring. And while I'm not in a position to suggest what the remedy is, I wanted to first find out, do we have a problem? I informally, and I had shared the document with the board last time, did a analysis of four different one-hour segments, and I observed approximately 18% of the traffic was, in fact, speeding. And now, again, that was subjective, to be clear. And I think the fruits of the meeting that you guys were gracious enough to allow me to attend was that you guys were going to provide some sort of assessment yourselves and get some machinery out there. And I saw that that quickly occurred. And I very much appreciated. And I guess part of what I'd like to hear today is the results of that analysis and two other quick points. One, if I'm not mistaken, the machine that did that analysis had an indicator saying this is your speed, and I would think by definition when people see that they would slow down. So I don't know if that skews the numbers, I don't know if that's taken into consideration or not. But the other thing, the second point is that I had a homework assignment.
That again?
I had a homework assignment myself. Okay. I think you had asked me to ask the local residents what would they like to see happen? I did that. And the result of that, there was two ideas that came from that discussion with my neighbors. The first is, you know, every so often at a reasonable period of time, it would be good that a police car be there and write some tickets and take control of the traffic and send the signal that, you know, this is being monitored. The second one was to use those same machines that you were using to observe traffic to keep it out there every so often to, again, alert the folks that are driving down the street what their speed is. So those are the two ideas that came from the local residents. We pause if there's any questions or comments.
I think we can, at some point, and we want to make sure you finish, and then we can turn it over to the commission to make comment or ask questions. So why don't you go ahead and continue if you have more to add?
No, I think that's the gist of what I wanted to cover, was that I appreciate you guys taking a look at this to see if my subjective analysis was accurate or not, that I'm a little sensitive to that that machinery might skew the numbers, and that the suggestion by the local neighbors was to have a police officer there every so often, whatever is defined by you all, and or those machines indicating what the speed of the traffic is to those cars. I think that's what I really wanted to cover.
You know, we appreciate the work that you've done on this and polling the neighbors. Turn it over to members of the commission. It's my assumption that the two requests are requests that we could accommodate. You know, one would be asking the police to periodically enforce speeding in that area. And then the second, with respect to the machines, I think we'd have to talk about that. I think there's an expense, as you know, to have machines permanently located, but I think there are some portable machines, and I guess that's something that would probably merit further discussion about the ability to bring a machine like that, you know, periodically, because I think that's something we have some that are portable within the village that we move around. So why don't we take those one at a time? Jeff, with respect to asking the police to periodically provide some additional enforcement, is that something we can just request?
Yeah, Jeff can talk to PD.
What about the periodic use of a speed sign, a portable speed sign?
Yeah, we could certainly request that. Availability, what other areas of town, we kind of go through this each time, but yeah, certainly we can add enforcement.
I don't know that we have the ability to dictate this or even ask the police to accommodate this, but Mr. Ippolito, I'm wondering, is there a specific time that you noticed more speeding rather than less? I mean, we're like, you know, we don't want them sitting out there at 11 a.m. to 11:30, yeah, and they see two cars, you know.
Yeah, kind of sad to tell you that. In fact, I know, only because, my office oversees Keystone, so I see the traffic patterns. It is generally in the what you would expect, right? In the morning when people are rushing to wherever they're going, I observe that that's heavy traffic, and then late afternoon when people are returning to their homes.
Rush hours.
Exactly.
Okay.
By the way, the comment that I made about a police officer writing tickets or warning, I'm always hesitant to share a study of one, right? But I was pulled over, candidly, on Thatcher Avenue. I was speeding.
Probably by Anne Marie.
I was like, oh my God, that's my fault. I apologize. You know, I didn't realize it, right? But what was interesting is that police officer, and I'm not going to mention the person's name, but they gave me a warning. And I am telling you, from now on, I am very diligent about trying to watch my speed on Thatcher. So I think there's, you probably all have the data. I don't. But something needs to happen to control that traffic. And I'm not advocating for a stop sign. I know there's, I'm geeky enough to do my own research, and I observed that in my research that stop signs are not highly effective. They just call people to speed up after they stop, and as I had seen, but trying to have some control mechanism, I think, would be helpful.
Joe, are you on the corner or
one door, I guess that would be south.
One door south.
Yeah.
The blue house.
The old Victorian.
I have a neighbor, really, blocked away. Is there anything else that we can do to address your concern today? I think we'll we'll pass on the two requests to the what they can to accommodate those.
Yeah. I guess a question for you all. How effective have those machines been in helping control traffic? Or is this, you know, not an effect? I would love to, I don't want to waste the resources, what I'm getting at.
So my observation, I live on Keystone, Chicago. You've got that speed sign that's on Chicago heading east, right at Keystone. So people come zipping in Chicago. I sit there and wait to cross the street, but I'm always looking at that little portable, not portable, but a fixed sign there. It's amazing how fast it goes from flashing down to like 28. Mm-hmm. I think they're very effective because I watch it every time I'm at that stop sign. I'm watching the people just zip on in.
Yeah.
And we put one up by your house there. Talk about that.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a silver bullet, but something needs to happen. Again, the cars are still speeding by at a rate that's unsafe, and that's a high, you know, obviously a residential area, right?
Well, I'm going to add one more comment. I'll just pass out here. Copies. New York Times had an article, February 15th, about traffic deaths are up.
I saw that.
And it's no, one quote here. Relatively empty roads would cause accidents to decline, is what they expected. Instead, an increase in aggressive driving more than made up for the decline in driving, and crashes continued to increase when people returned to the roads later in the pandemic. I mean, we're seeing it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, this group here sees it. We look at this agenda tonight. You're all here just for the same reason, because are speeding and just ignoring the signs. So, I mean, it's there. We got to figure out a solution. I think part of it has to be the enforcement. We can't blame the police department. They've got a lot of other issues as well. Mm-hmm. I think we need some sort of a hardcore enforcement day or something where they focus on your corner and your
plan, right?
Yeah.
For the visit.
Well, what I can add to this is a few years ago we did the comprehensive traffic study, and then we implemented a lot of stop signs in the village, And, you know, so then now we sit here a few years later, and we're looking and we're witnessing what's happened post-pandemic, whether you want to blame it on the pandemic or not. I live on the 300 block of Park, and I'm another, there aren't many of these runs left from Washington to the Metro Line. Park Avenue, you can run from Washington to the wall. Keystone, you can run from Washington to the wall. I believe you can still do that on Thatcher Avenue as well. And then that's it. I don't think there's any left. And I can be in front of my house and there's cars whizzing by because there's no stop sign at Linden. Same thing. Two blocks, three blocks east of you. So I see it on my block. I see it on your block. Thatcher is a highway. I am not for advocating four-way stops in this village on every corner, but I am here to just add to the conversation saying that, like what Commissioner Gillis said, one day, you know, once a quarter,
amen,
whatever, we get boys in blue out there, the blinking signage, we write some tickets, give some warnings, whatever. I know it's probably mostly the residents of River Forest because they know when, you know, when we move a stop sign, they go to the fast block. I mean, it could be the residents of river of other towns as well. I mean, most likely it's a mix of the two.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to throw blame at one group. I'm going to say we have a problem on those long two block stretches. So I'm with Commissioner Reese and Commissioner Gillis and probably everybody here saying that yes, we have a problem throughout town where we have these two block stretches. And I don't even know if there was a stop sign there, if they
come to a complete stop either. I mean, if you go a block east of you to Forest, well, no, that doesn't count because that's a short block.
They're not stopping on Hawthorne, which
may
help once the crosswalks are reinstalled.
Yeah.
But I sat and watched today.
They are
car roll
flying down Hawthorne,
and even the stop sign on my neighbors here, that a couple neighbors on to talk about Keystone in Washington, they don't come to that stop. They blow by it. It's unsafe.
Yeah.
And so, you know, stop sign, again, I did my own research. It doesn't seem like that's the answer. But I think a combination of things, alteration, maybe one quarter it is a police officer, one quarter it's a machine. I don't, again, I'm not the individual that's with the answers.
I think we're here to acknowledge the problem on several blocks south of the tracks. And we
blocks north of the tracks.
Oh yeah, we haven't even gotten north of the tracks
yet.
I know that's coming, and we've been dealing with that for years and years and years. And you know, we'll give it the same due diligence as we are south of the tracks. But to acknowledge the problem, and we as a commission to, rather than throw up stop signs, come up with some, not solution, but some sort of
remediation
idea, ideology, where we see if something works, implement it, or implement it more. And I like some of the ideas that have come out, but I just wanted to add my two cents saying, it's your block, it's my block, it's block runs in the village, south of the tracks, it's north of the tracks. And I don't know if this is for us to bring up, if we need more of these portable blinking speed reducers or whatever you call them, maybe it's time to talk about that and get more equipment that can be placed. We'll have more equipment to place around the village at various times to try and dissuade speeders.
Any time we're talking about portable radar feedback signs, we're talking about the police trailer. Are truly portable. Anything we see that's pole mounted, those are not portable.
Right.
Those are permanently installed. They're either solar paneled or wired in. And what we got, and this is, we all have the information. I think the quote we got to install the one at Thatcher and Vine, we were up around $15,000. So these things aren't cheap either. We can't get everywhere, but call to make or recommend, and then the board's call to make ultimately.
Any other comments on Keystone and Linden?
Well, I don't want to derail us completely, so feel free to tell me to table this until later. But should we have another conversation about speed bumps and whether or not we should think about either permanent speed bumps or temporary plastic speed bumps that you'll find sometimes around construction zones? I mean, they would be really effective at reducing speed. And if you don't want to put stop signs on every street and you've got long stretches of uninterrupted street, it seems like a great place for speed bumps. And I think we should, think about whether or not that's even open for discussion. I mean, I think it should be open for discussion.
I mean, I guess my two cents would be open to have that discussion. I think part of the discussion would have to be warrants or standards for that kind of remediation, because just as we've seen, I mean, there are warrants and there are standards that exist for stop signs, but many people want a stop sign and they want the stop sign regardless, even if it's not justified by any of the usual standards. And I have a feeling that, many people will want speed bumps, whether they're warranted or not. And so that's ultimately a decision, by the village to decide what, we know that Public Works has had objections. It doesn't mean that that couldn't be overruled, and whether it be permanent or temporary. I agree with you, Dave, that really want to control speed. There are other ways to control speed than certainly than a stop sign, and speed bumps would be one of those things. But I do think that if we're going to have a discussion about that, we ought to get some data about warrants and or other kinds of standards that at least exist to support use of speed bumps versus other calming devices. At least
I'm assuming they're more expensive also, right? Blinking lights.
I think didn't last meeting you guys were working on trying to get us a toolbox of solutions so that
we
could
the other problem
implement.
That's for a temporary curb bump out. So not to say that couldn't be used at any intersection, but yeah, certainly where it would kind of narrow up the lane.
Yeah, whether if it was like temporary speed bumps or.
So, but we're not doing this. Okay. That wasn't a discussion about that discussion.
Oh, we were just trying to fill up a toolbox for these type of meetings where we could.
But that conversation was centered on Keystone and Washington in terms of a temporary bump out. Okay. It wasn't just overall what can we fill the toolbox with. The other thing I want to throw out there is that the board study going on for the northeast quadrant of town, when we discussed that with the board was amenable to doing a broader village-wide traffic study. We want to start filling the toolbox and looking at other means, speed bumps and these other things that we want on the table for discussion. I think that is probably the most appropriate comprehensive discussion to have. And it's not to say we can't come back and say, you know what, we were just talking about, and then maybe we want to implement X, Y, and Z over there as well, kind of retroactively. But I'd hate for efforts to be made in one direction, and then we do a study, and it kind of says, well, you'd be better served doing this over here instead or something like that. But the direction staff got from the board was to RFP out there for somebody that is kind of on that.
Yeah, that'd be good, and if we just could be clear that as part of the study that they would be focused on, what are the kinds of tools that could be used in particular to regulate speed? Because, we've been on those on this commission, even one meeting, we know that regularly speed is an issue. And we've struggled because we know that as a general matter, as Vito noted, that it's generally understood stop signs aren't the best way to control speed. Good for controlling right of way. Sometimes people use them for that purpose, but there may be other ways that are better. The idea would be, is that kind of a village-wide study that a key component of it should be to discuss different methods of controlling speed, whether they be, restricting, of traffic, whether they be speed bumps, et cetera, and kind of the pros and cons.
Because I'm sure that other residents will come after me, and you can provide your data, right?
Yeah. Anybody else on Vito's corner? Vito, thank you for coming in twice and, for your help and the work that you did on it.
And I genuinely appreciate after that meeting, it was like a couple days after you guys put out those machines. So I know
thanks, Jeff and Peter. And
great job with it. So, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have folks here on Washington? Would you like to speak? If you don't mind, just we have some people on the phone, so go there, you could use the microphone.
Here, are you ready? No, go ahead up there, Ryan, for a second. I just want to clarify with the commission, with Vito, that was just kind of for discussion purposes?
I think for discussion and recommendation just to the police, I didn't think we needed any motion or anything. Yeah. Please give us your name and address, if you don't mind.
Oh, no problem. Ryan Blecker.
I'm
at 147 Keystone, corner of Washington and Keystone. It actually used to be 7925 Washington. Anyway, so we're right there at the corner. But first of all, thanks again for having us out here, including us in the last meeting. And I think what happened is, primarily what we are looking for is movement, interest, things like that, and backing up bump outs at Washington and Keystone, primarily in the east-west direction. The the conversation last meeting turned into, I believe, the committee or someone you guys were looking into, I think what you guys were just even talking about, a toolbox, or even the PDF that was attached in the agenda this week. There were a few, I think, kind of options that you guys had kind of looked into. But last meeting, it turned into a bigger discussion about lights, like blinking stoplights, and even the crosswalk at Park.
We were talking about Forest, and we were talking about Keystone.
Yeah, and I think there was a lot of technical difficulties, and I think there was a little bit of confusion on where these lights, what we are thinking about as far as, like, blinking lights. And I'm right at the corner, and Jeff, I appreciate, again, you followed up, and, you know, because I was following up with you. I'm really not in agreement to have a blinking light at that corner. I don't think that's going to help the situation at all. I think we've all kind of been discussing that stop signs kind of help in the right of way, but they're not going to help with people that are just using the parking lane as the passing lane, and that's the biggest problem.
And Brian, can I interrupt you? When you say flashing, does that include one of the solar-powered flashing stop signs?
A blinking stop sign,
You're not in favor of that.
I am not in favor of that. And that's what it kind of led to last time. It led to, let's look into some temporary solutions, but let's move on bringing to the higher committee blinking stop signs going east and west. And then I think there was also on Forest, a pedestrian kind of hit the button and it blinks while a pedestrian goes by, which again, I think is not as intrusive because it's, you know, it's kind of a white light and it's just when someone's using it. I personally, the corner at Washington and Keystone, it's hard for me to kind of take my emotions out of when I talk to you guys about this corner. It's daily. I look out the window, and now that I've been working from home, I just see it all the time. I mean, just people are just ripping through there. Already I see a stop sign in front of my house that nobody abides by. If I see a blinking light outside of my house that nobody abides by, I mean, it's going to drive me nuts. And I don't know. I don't know if that's the best rationale or reason to give you guys, but I don't think that's going to do anything to stop what I think is a bigger issue. And I want to particularly talk about going westbound because that's the sign I see. I know I don't want to speak for Andy and going east. If you guys want blinking lights, I think that's kind of on him. I defer to that neighbor that kind of has to stare at it. But, you know, I guess what I'm thinking is I want to make sure. I'd love to take away from voting the possibility of blinking lights on that sign. I'd much rather that money go towards things that are temporary bump outs or something of that nature that really I think is going further at the heart of the matter, which is these are parking lanes or passing lanes, and our intersections are passing lanes all the time. So that's my main thing. I wanted to hopefully rid of the possibility of a blinking stop sign there. I really don't think the neighborhood wants lights. I mean, when I was going around asking for support and kind of looking for bump outs, the main thing everyone really said was, you're not going to bring a light, like a traffic light in here. And I'm like, God, no, because I think everyone's just like, that's not going to do well for, you know, resale value or just kind of what, you know, and just kind of the house. But I don't think anyone really wants lights or blinking lights, and I don't really think that they're going to do anything. And all it's going to do is literally make me not want to live on that corner.
But you're saying from your viewpoint, where you sit at your desk, sounds like they're blowing through a stop sign either in the passing lane or in the regular lane. They're just blowing through the stop sign.
They're doing
what happened at William in Chicago, where the car rolled over and that person's front.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so,
but they're going around the cars. Yeah, there is. there is 90% of people roll to a stop and do what we call back in the day a California stop or a Sunday roll or whatever it is. That's 90%.
Mm-hmm.
They know it's there.
And it's in the regular lane.
It's in the regular lane.
Yeah.
But the ones that blast by in the parking lane, someone will be stopped at the stop sign.
Mm-hmm.
So they know there's a stop sign. It's usually he's not there anymore, but whoever his name was talking about Lyndon and Keystone. Generally, it's the morning and the evening. It's the rush hour. And so maybe three or four people will be stopped at the stop sign. They know it's a stop sign. And they're like, screw this. I'm blasting around these folks. 100%. They know it's a stop sign, and they're using it as an opportunity to blast by five cars. That's the use of the parking lane. And the stop sign, I mean, I would say 90%. Again, I'm trying not to hurt my case. People know there's a stop sign there. They'll roll to a stop. We all know, I feel like we're all discussing the idea that hardly anyone stops anymore. They just roll to a stop. Clear, they go. I mean, that's it. But they know it's there.
Ryan, do you think there's some view that the flashing, and I hear you loud and clear that you're not in favor of a flashing sign. Do you think seems like there's some indication that the flashing stop sign means like we mean it? And really stop at this one. I mean, but even if you were to assume that's true, it sounds like you're not in favor of a flashing stop sign. If you got some marginal benefit, you're more in favor of a bump out.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah, I think because the problem is not just rolling and cutting across, because I walk my dog every day there. Half the time I'm standing in the middle of the road screaming, almost hitting me and the dog and going.
Yeah.
It's all these people who want to get in front of others.
Yeah.
Just use this additional lane as a passing lane, and then they forget the stop sign and everything.
God forbid the day when driving a Suburban and that mother with the little carriage is in front of the Suburban when he comes around.
Yeah. All I really want is to have the side buffer around that intersection so that there is space. So you don't think, because there's a tremendous amount of kids on this street. We all cross this street. We all cross Washington to get to Lincoln School. We all cross Washington to get to Washington Commons Park. And I try not to get emotional and dramatic about it, but I really kind of feel like being just south of Washington, it is a cutoff from River Forest. It Washington is a humongous problem in my eyes that I never thought of when I first moved there. And since I've moved there, I'm like, I can't believe I moved onto this street. My wife shouldn't listen to me. But it is, I mean, it's just this Washington looks like a four-lane street. It just acts like a four-lane street. I mean, I personally, and I'm going way too far into like, you know, asking for budgets and this and that, but I really think there should be bump outs throughout the street to make it feel like it's a neighborhood street. Everybody comes from the east or from the west, and they hit Thatcher, and everyone's going no less than 40 or 50 across that bridge. And then it's like I have to adjust to get myself to a slight 30, 35 once you get to Thatcher. I feel like the Washington needs to start having bump out to where it says, okay, you are now going into a one lane each way
right.
street. And it doesn't act like when I look at Chicago, when I look at Lake, when I look at Vision, those all feel like, okay, I still am in a neighborhood because there's either bump outs or ground or whatever that's coming in and it's narrower. Anyway, you know, I'm rambling, but I mean, as far as even if the bump outs, I know it was passed along. There were like three, four or five different bump out suggestions. You know, again, when I look at those, I would love to think if I would love to see it, if we can even try. I mean, I'd love, first of all, to support bump outs. Secondly, it'd be nice if it was a little bit more like with the eye of the neighborhood as well. A lot of the options that I'm seeing there also feel very bright, you know, crazy, right. You know, like I'm in the city type thing. And I think there's ways, you know, I have a few examples where it's even bump outs where I don't know if it's painted or something like that in almost art, or having a little bit of planting and things like that, you know, like a garden type thing. But
Ryan, if you don't mind, I think we have another member of the public. Why don't we get other public comment, and then we'll turn it over to the board to the commission to comment.
How's it going? I'm Andy. I live 146 Keystone, so I'm on the southwest corner of that corner.
And what's your name?
Andy Whiting, W-H-I-T-I-N-G. So I was here last time, so thanks again for, you know, kind of looking into this. So Ryan mentioned kind of like his perspective on like people kind of passing through there. I think there's like three scenarios of the way people kind of travel through that. There's the, you know, 80 to 90% that are just doing the rolling stop that everyone does these days. And like I said last time, I'm honestly not worried about that, because usually that just means they're, you know, they're paying enough attention to where they're vigilant enough that if there was somebody in the line, you know, in the crosswalk, they probably would stop, but they're not. And I've observed that all the time. And so I'm not here to judge that. But what makes me most concerned are the two scenarios. One that Ryan addressed about the people in the passing lane. And I think what is happening there is people are backed up, and it appears, okay, so I'm thinking about this heading eastbound into River Forest from, you know, out, on the other side of Thatcher, or going eastbound in Washington. I think what happens is I sit and I watch it. People come to the stop sign, and maybe one or two cars will back up, and the people will go around them thinking that they're backed up because they can't turn left, not because they are at a stop sign, right? So they just think they're yielding for oncoming traffic, so they might not even notice their stop sign. So I think that actually it's like they're missing the stop sign, and not just blowing through the stop sign to pass them, but they're just seeing this as like, oh, there's a car stop to turn left, there's room for me to go to the right. And then by the time they even recognize there's a stop sign, they don't even care, and they're going way too fast. So I see that scenario multiple times a day. And then the one that scares me the most, and this typically happens more at night, but it's just people literally blowing through it, like 60 miles an hour without even thinking about stopping. And that's how somebody gets killed. And so when people just like flat out miss it, like I said, the rolling stop, we've all done it. It's not ideal, but you're expecting somebody probably to slow down if they did see somebody. The part that scares me are when these people are blowing through without even stopping. And like you mentioned with the suburban, if somebody can't see somebody walking across, like my kids today there was an ice cream man was out today in Washington Commons Park, and they walked from our house over there. And I stood up in my kid's bedroom, like out, like watching them walk across. And I was just like scared to death. Like, I gave them a $20 bill, walk over there and get your ice cream. And I was just like, you know, I mean, I'm scared, right? Cause I mean, there's a lot of activity, but obviously my kids are 9, 7, and 4. They're, you know, the 9-year-old's, well, theoretically responsible enough to kind of do that himself, but it's still very scary. So I think that the scenario where they're absolutely blowing through and then the stopping and passing, or when they're stopped and backed up and they're passing, both of those need more than a blinking light. It's the bump out, I think I would definitely support. Because I also think that there's something about like the distance between the two stop signs from the west side and the east side. There's just kind of like something, either people don't pay any attention or they just kind of get lost in it and they just cruise right through it. So I'm definitely in favor of the bump outs or any sort of like interruption. And then I think back to Ryan's point, I think we talked about this last time, and that is, you know, over the past, you know, I've been in River Forest now for about 3 years, but I guess before that, you know, it sounds like they made modifications to Madison and to Lake and to Chicago to kind of like slow those down. And Washington might be kind of one of the last standing streets that doesn't have a physical interruption. And so anyway, I think that's what's causing a lot of it. So anyway, I'm excited that we're, you know, kind of going through this, and I appreciate all your all the work. So
thanks, Andy. All right. Is there anyone else in either on Zoom or that's here to address Washington. Why don't we turn it over to the commission for any comment?
So Arun? I'll start. Last time we had decided that we will review before making any massive physical bump outs, we'll look at things like these plastic bullets. And there are some, and they're not, I'm assuming, very expensive. If the colors are, if you don't like the bright orange, they can, he said we could switch them to yellow or white or whatever decent color, which doesn't look too nasty to watch. So that's possible to start off with. And that'll actually be a physical block. They're lining up, and we'll have to think so they bypass and cut into that lane because these physical blocks will be there.
And I would think that, I mean, if the color was sort of objective, they don't look great, but the theory would be that if it works, then, you know, we'd suggest a permanent bump out, presumably.
I'd suggest they are orange, so that's their attention getting, right? That's part of their effectiveness. But yeah, certainly reflective strips, you can, there's many colors we could. And that would be consistent with William in Chicago for what that's worth. You know, I think up here, now that weather's turning, we're going to put those four ballers out on Chicago at William. So with here, again, that would completely prevent anyone from driving through the parking lane or risk
the underside of the car. Did we do a blinking stop sign on Chicago and William?
No.
We didn't.
No, because the issue didn't seem to be pulling through that stop sign. It was people driving. It was an issue with that accident, but driving through the parking lane.
And the idea would be if we were to put bollards or some other kind of device, the expectation would be this would be, lack of a better word, temporary, or be an initial step that may ultimately lead to some more permanent, probably in conjunction with the study that you're talking about with respect to the village. You would think that you're right, you guys are right, that we've done work on Chicago and other streets, and I think everybody would agree that Washington is due for the same kind of attention, and not just at one intersection, but really probably that whole corridor needs some attention. But I think what we're talking about, at least right now, is an immediate possible first step, is the possibility for some temporary barriers, call them bollards or other kinds of devices that could have the effect of preventing cars from driving through in the parking lane. Rick or John, do you guys want to comment on Washington at all?
I could just say that before we painted the town with stop signs, and I've been sitting here since 06, here a little while. You know, we talked about an evolution. You know, put a yield sign in, a stop sign in, radar. You know, so some degree we're still in that phase in some areas of town. Now, me to some degree, because I'm on the 300 block apart, but you guys, because you're on Washington, yeah, that's the last of the Wild West runs through this village. And it is a problem. We're sitting here acknowledging it, and I appreciate that you guys can sit there and look out your windows every day and monitor what we do. But I don't want you to think that what we do, because I like the idea of bollards, especially because we're doing the same thing on William, and we want to see if it works, or we do something drastic, like put a blinking stop sign. I could sit here and say, yeah, put a blinking stop sign, but you don't want a blinking stop sign, and I'm not affected by a blinking stop sign. So we're working through this together as a community, and we'll see what happens. I know we're going to hear from you. Unless you move, you know, so as we sit here and chat as a commission, I like the idea of the bollards. I like that it's similar to William in Chicago, and let's make that a first step in an evolution of slowing it down, because I have a feeling there's something massive that's going to happen on Washington where there's official bump outs. You know, we still haven't even addressed the forest crossing, which I believe is going to be similar to Lake Street and Forest, actually, Lake Street and Forest, which is a bump out and then the button so the kids can cross
the street. So you guys know where we're coming from and how there might be an evolution and a long one. You know, if you're here for another 10 years, it's probably going to look completely different over there.
One question I have is, if we were to recommend bollards, is the recommendation to focus initially at the intersection of Keystone and Washington, or would we extend that to Thatcher and Washington, or you know, any other parts of Washington?
One part, if you see, it's thinner, right? I don't know, was it near Thatcher, or it actually kind of becomes thin and then again broad, and then the Keystone and Washington intersection is bigger. So it kind of chokes and comes out. I don't know, near Thatcher, does it have a passing?
Oh, and at no point does it really have an official passing lane. Those are all parking lanes. Their stretch. So this intersection is a request being discussed. Whatever you want. I would be hesitant to put them up everywhere. I'd rather try to incorporate that into the study, which I've already noted, have a consultant come in, look at the entire stretch, put the bollards up for now because we know there are concerns there. And as part of the study, just say, okay, is a road diet needed? Do we need to put chicanes or bump outs or whatever throughout that entire stretch?
And Jeff, if we were to recommend bollards at Washington and Keystone, we've talked a lot about eastbound traffic, but I know the same issue is westbound there. So would the idea be to put them eastbound? And I presume that would mean on the, I don't know, it would be on the west side of
Correct.
The intersection?
Correct.
Or I don't know if you'd, so it's the side with the approaching traffic.
Correct.
And then same thing on the other side for westbound traffic, it would be on the east side of the intersection.
Sure, just a true mirror image of what we're doing at West Chicago.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know if anybody wants to comment on that. I think, and if we were to do that, you'd want a motion and we would make that recommendation to the board?
Yeah, if for no other reason, just make sure.
Sure. So that's one recommendation we're talking about, putting the bollards.
Right. No, but where is Forest in Washington? Is that even on the...
That was already approved for the crosswalk.
That was
approved. The flashing crosswalk at Forest in Washington was approved after the last meeting.
Without a bump out?
Nope, not at Forest. The only thing discussed at Forest was the flashing crosswalk.
So it would be matching the crosswalk.
Yeah, that's good.
Didn't know that was approved. That's good. Thank you.
I missed that one. Sorry.
So any other comment? You know, we could have a motion and then any further discussion, but any more comment about the idea of the bollards?
I have a question. Peter and Jeff, what's the cost difference between bollards
and
a
bollard? Hold on just 1 second. Let's let Pat. I'm sorry, Pat, go ahead and finish your comment.
Can you guys hear me? If you can hear me, holler. I'm far away.
No, we can. Go ahead.
What's the difference in cost between bollards and a bump out? I'm assuming there's a major cost differential. Can we start with bollards? And
right, and that was kind of the discussion around.
See how that works?
Chicago, that it was an incremental approach, and the bollards were relatively inexpensive compared to, carving out part of the road and installing curb, and that it is a whole thing. So certainly if we were going to do that like we did along Chicago Avenue with those rain gardens, that's part of a much larger project. I certainly think that makes sense if that's what a consultant would determine is necessary and what the commission voted for. But before we get to that stage, just like William and Chicago, again, I think the bollards are a relatively inexpensive approach at seeing how much that helps the intersection.
I think we should give it a try. Yeah, right. Thank you.
So, Andy and Ryan, you understand the proposal that we're discussing, which is the idea of putting bollards, which would be like the vertical posts, both east and westbound traffic along Washington to at least try to prevent people from the main issue that you guys were talking about, at least one of the main issues, which are the people up on the right side to try to not have to wait in line in single file to try to press through the intersection. Would you like to make a motion to? Right. So I think
what this is, it's going to force people from thinking it's a four lane down to realize.
And as I understand it, Andy, the idea is that I think we're aware that that's an issue as soon as you hit Thatcher. But if what I'm hearing is that there's also a proposal from the village board to incorporate this stretch, the entire stretch, into a study that would include really from Thatcher all the way probably to Lathrop, I assume. Yeah, no, I agree with you, and certainly wouldn't oppose doing it at Thatcher, too, but... I guess, why don't we start with the intersection to expand the discussion into Thatcher.
Let's say house on north part of Thatcher should be amenable to a lot of change.
I know.
I'll be careful.
So why don't we address Washington and...
Okay, I'll make a motion.
Right.
I'm going to make a motion for temporary curb bump outs east and westbound on Washington at Keystone.
By way of bollards?
Staff can decide the correct they prefer.
No, you decide.
Plastic bollards.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were discussing.
Okay,
I want to make sure you all are.
Okay.
Are
I want it similar.
Okay, so with bollards. Yes.
All right, so the motion is to install, to recommend installation of the bollards at the intersection of Washington and Keystone, similar to what was done at William and Chicago.
Correct. I don't think it's been done yet. But.
Order in the court.
It'll be on one different directions, one near.
The chairman has lost all control.
So as you approach the intersection, the parking lane, the end of it, before you got to that stop sign, would have two bollards sticking up. It would be, that's what we, correct,
three.
No, it would, or three, if you want a three, we could put three in, but two, the idea would be that there is a physical barrier at the end of the parking lane to prevent you from proceeding. That's not what we're doing at William and Chicago.
The suggestion, the motion is at least for now to start with the vertical bollards, the vertical posts. Start with that as the first step and see if that's sufficient to redirect the traffic to single file through that intersection. So the motion that's on the table is to do that for Keystone and Washington. Arun seconds it. Why don't we, any discussion on that before we vote?
I just want to say that with the change in the traffic pattern as it's forced to one lane, I'm really all for a blinking stoplight. stop sign in either direction because of the warning potential, the new traffic pattern, the blinking. I'm not going to mess with the recommendation, but I'm just putting it out there.
Well, John, let's get a vote on the
the
recommendation for the bollards, and then let's see if there's any further discussion of either that or Thatcher. So, how about a vote on this motion?
Marie's?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Rahman?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Osgo?
Yes.
Thank you. So that'll go to that recommendation that gets reported to the village board?
Yep.
Okay. So for you guys, I think, understand that what we recommend here is non-binding. And I don't know if this requires an ordinance, but what we do is we make non-binding recommendations. Our recommendations go to the village board. Considers them at usually their next meeting. If it's in time to get on the agenda for the next meeting, you're welcome to attend that meeting if you want to. A little point of order here. We've got Anna Marie here to talk about Thatcher, similar issue of speeding, but we also, before we leave this topic, do we want to hear from Ms. Giebert or do we want to anything more to discuss with respect to this issue that we just discussed?
The only thing is, I don't know if you've seen from Austin going west, on Madison, two lanes. lanes exist, but somehow they've drawn some lines and all that, which makes you not use the...
So just in terms of striping, you're saying...
Yeah, I don't know if you've noticed it. Once you come off and, from Austin Avenue, you on Oak Park, you turn a left onto going westwards on Madison.
And they put in a dedicated bike.
And all kinds of striping, but eventually there's only one lane you can drive on, even though there's so much road. Everything else is somehow...
Yeah, what they did, they've got the parking and then the bike lane and then the driving lane.
Yeah. And it does make sense to, you know, and I guess that would be part of the study. It would make sense in my mind to incorporate some kind of a bike lane on Washington. I think there are a lot of cyclists that use Washington, at least commuters. I don't know about casual cyclists, but certainly commuters do. Okay. Well, at this point, should we move on to Anna Marie?
My name is Anna Marie Romeo Giebert. I live at 1035 Thatcher, Donald Glazier at 1111 Thatcher. And then she was on Zoom, but she's gone. Kathy Klein at 93 Thatcher.
Saw her, okay. Kathy Klein is at 939
Thatcher.
Okay.
Ready? A few months ago, we independently realized that we, the three of us, all have been calling the village, emailing the village, calling the police about Thatcher Avenue. So we have started to meet on a regular basis to talk about the issues on Thatcher, and about safety, and you've heard a lot tonight. Safety is a problem on Thatcher, as is speed. We have the same problem as Washington. In my driveway, people blow around me. They were driving in the parking lanes a few years ago. We asked them to put up signs saying driving lane in the parking lane. We have met with O'Shea and a group of officers, and they suggested that this was our next step, to start a dialogue with you about what we can do on Thatcher. Because Chicago to North Avenue is a highway. And it hasn't always been a highway. I have lived in River Forest since 1980. So I have observed over the years that there were times where you never sped on Thatcher. The minute you sped, you were ticketed. This morning at 6 a.m., I was sitting in my sun porch, and people were blowing down the street. So we have issues. We have some thoughts that Don will discuss, and we would like to start a dialogue with you about what to do. We know it's IDOT. We know that that stretch of road is owned by IDOT, but that shouldn't preclude us from, as a village, doing some things that would benefit the residents.
And echoing what Hannah said and what I think I've seen here tonight has been that article that Rick brought up, mm-hmm. I think is reflected in the number of people that are coming in tonight. I mean, I've lived here for 30 some odd years. They've been speeding and it's annoying, but you've got other things going on in your life, but it's gotten worse over time. And the thing that I think we're all facing right now is wondering, what can we do to stop it? And I think that, at least I've come to the conclusion, that there's not one magic bullet that's going to make everybody obey the law, not blow through stop signs, not speed, not come around and make, you know, illegal turns. I think it's got to be, again, as Rick mentioned, a toolbox of things. And I think that we as residents, when people come to this committee or call up their elected representatives and say, there's a problem here, we need to do stop sign, we need to do this, don't many times know what all the possible solutions are. I think it's going to be, at the end of the day, it'll be a mix of things. Increased police enforcement coupled with perhaps reconfiguration of the streets. Certainly in our street on Thatcher, we, as I said, face a unique problem, that being that we have to talk to IDOT to have anything done. When we spoke to the chief, they mentioned, or maybe Jeff mentioned, that signs that are put up, if IDOT doesn't like them, it's their street. They can take them down or put in the size that they like or things like that. We faced this issue probably 25 years ago. We were trying to get some control over Thatcher, and people said, it was said, well, the village doesn't have control. We can't do anything. And so we went to IDOT, and you have to get friends down in Springfield to help you on that front, or in IDOT or in the state legislature. So we face a bit of a unique problem there. But, again, we're only facing that problem from North Avenue to Chicago Avenue. I think from Chicago Avenue south, you guys are in charge of that. So we are facing a unique problem. And in our meeting with the police, they brought Jeff in to share with us what we thought was probably the most exciting bit of news I've had on Thatcher since I've lived there. That being that they're contemplating, and I'm crossing my fingers that it happens, taking one lane that is currently running southbound and turning that into a dedicated bike lane, two-lane bike lane, which will put the street back to one lane each way, which is what it is in Elmwood Park, all the way from where Thatcher begins in River Grove, all the way to Chicago Avenue. It's two lanes for a chunk in River Forest, and then it goes back to one lane each way. So getting it back to that will be great for a lot of reasons. One, dedicated bike lane would be terrific for people that like to bike, like myself. It'll allow people to take advantage of the forest preserves without worrying about getting killed. People ride on that street all the time on their bikes, and is one of them. And we look out for her safety. And there's a lot of other things that we talked about or thought about, speed bumps, speed maps or something else that are available, reconfiguring the lanes.
So somebody else mentioned, that you had monitored speed on Keystone. Maybe this is a good time to start to monitor the speed on Thatcher again. I know that I've called Chief O'Shea, and he's always amazing. The portable monitor has been put in front of my house many, many times. And they situate it in such a way that I don't see it from my front windows, which is great. But maybe we need to see what the true speed is on our street. John now has a monitor, one of those permanent solar monitors, in front of his home. But the one in front of Kathy Klein's house was removed, which is one of the reasons that I started calling Chief O'Shea. When I saw that come down, I got very upset because I felt that that was helpful. I was told that that monitor came down because the solar power wasn't strong enough in that stretch because of the trees. But I heard a little while ago that you could hardwire those. So I've offered to have you put one up in front of my house, but I really think the 900 block, and Kathy would love to have it put back up if it works, put that one back up on the 900 block, because right now the only monitor between Chicago and North Avenue is over the tracks on the 1100 block. That isn't going to stop the people that turn off of Chicago and just barrel north. South is another issue because of IDOT. But if another monitor can be put back up, that would be one. We also talked about the fact that a lot of people are now walking into the woods from Augusta over Thatcher into the woods. Really think about or figure out a way to put some type of a crosswalk there or a flashing light there so that when the people are crossing with their pets or with their children and their strollers, that they're safe, because cars are coming so fast that something is.
I think there's more people that use the forest preserves. The forest preserve has put money in building in there, and people come in for really make it an amenity that for many years nobody took advantage of. But it also, I think, it has two things. One allows people to safely get into the forest preserves and go enjoy the woods. But it also, the more things I think you can clog the driver's mind with as far as what's that, they'll slow down a little bit because you just sit and watch the lanes going southbound on Thatcher, there's nothing that really inhibits folks from going fast. I know guys that have their cars that make a lot of noise. They love it because they can just have a clear path and they don't have anything that stops them. They can open up their engines. I hear them all day. But really, that's just one piece of the puzzle or one part of the solution. We're throwing out all these things. And I think somebody mentioned, and I'm hoping that we get a more village-wide study by people that really know all the tricks of the trade, all the tools in the toolbox that could be used to slow down traffic. And so that way we also know what are the criteria by which you determine. I know there's from what I've heard, so you have to show why you want a stop sign. And I'm sure you hear a lot of time, I want a stop sign, but there's certain criteria that allow that warrants that. And there's probably criteria that warrant certain other things. And if we have all those things in perhaps one study prepared by people that know this topic, traffic calming, traffic speed control, we can have intelligent discussions as opposed to people just getting code, coming in here and say, I want a blinking stop sign. Well, here's the study that was done. Here's all the tools that are available to the village. You know, these speed signs or the lighted ones cost $15,000. Is it in the budget? All those kind of things. Because otherwise, I think it's just piecemeal. People come in here when they're mad. You guys hear us out, which is very nice and very patient of you. But I think to get a long-term solution to what is a village-wide problem, we need to study the entire village and not just those people that raise their hand loudest and complain about it, and then all of a sudden, like, okay, we'll get a study in your corner, but it doesn't take care of the folks in Washington.
Well, and not, I don't mean to interrupt you,
no,
but
no, I'm sorry.
No, but you heard, right, the comment that there is mm-hmm. such a study that's being made.
Is that a village-wide study? It's been expanded.
Yeah, so that northeast corner of town was brought to the board. They approved it, but then during that discussion, it was decided that, well, we do need to take a broader look at the village as a whole, so that's going to be.
So that was approved.
Correct.
Perfect.
Well, so it was improved in concept. What we'll have to do, staff is going to have to put an RFP together.
Right.
We'll still have to bring it back to the board to award a contract, but in concept, yes, it's been approved.
So we don't want to take up any more of your time this evening because a lot of what we're saying has been repeated over and over, but we're here to help. You tell us something that we need to do in terms of our street. We know our neighbors. We can talk to our neighbors. We need to discuss it first. Then maybe we meet with you again. Brainstorm. Maybe you set aside someone as a liaison to us. Because sort of me calling the police department on a regular basis.
Anna Marie, I have a question either for you or for Jeff, but can you guys clarify the role of IDOT? Are you saying that they control the southbound on Thatcher or the entire stretch?
Yeah, I'm sorry. What I was told, and this is many years ago, and I don't think things have changed, is that Thatcher Avenue from maybe north, I don't know what it is in Elmwood Park.
You think north to Chicago?
North to Chicago Avenue is a feeder street, as they describe it, and that IDOT has title to it, and they control traffic signage, striping.
Both directions,
yeah,
is your understanding?
And years ago, working with Skip Saviano, we were able to get parking on our side of the street.
Well, return to our side. Somehow it was removed.
Right.
Signs went up saying no parking.
Right. So if you had people over, you had no place for them
without
to park.
Even telling us.
So
we got to return.
So I couldn't come to the village board or people in the village mm-hmm. and say we want to get that because they said, well, there's nothing we can do. And I was also told, and again, this is 20 years ago, and I don't know that it's changed, that there was an opportunity. This is a 1 mile stretch of Illinois road, and there was a program by which local villages could get title back to that, and the state would spend some money to fix it up and then give it back to you, but then it was your problem after that. I don't know if that's the case now, but it creates an added issue that we have to deal with in trying to get solutions for our street versus Washington as it goes through River Forest or other local streets. So if we have to engage people in Springfield, so be it. But that's, again, what I've been told.
Well, Jeff, you know what's going on
Thatcher, because we have IDOT.
Thatcher, he's right. Thatcher north of Chicago is IDOT, and then, strangely enough, Chicago west of Thatcher is IDOT. As soon as you get east of that intersection, Chicago becomes local, and as soon as you get south of that intersection.
But we as a village are able to put up those blinking speed signs because that's on village property. But we probably cannot put a crosswalk in.
It's up a sign or a flashing radar sign. That's one thing. You start to put stuff in pavement. So Lake Street, a lot of folks wanted the flashing crosswalk at Keystone, not Forest.
Right.
But IDOT has standards that say you can't put those within so many feet of a fully signalized intersection.
Yeah.
So you start to get into these.
No, I remember that.
And it's not that we haven't ever communicated with IDOT. We have contacts we can talk to you about. We'd like to do X, Y, or Z. We've in the 9 years I've been here, I don't think we've ever asked them to do anything up on the north end of Thatcher. Not to say we couldn't, but we haven't asked for any crosswalks or anything that I'm aware of. So I don't think that's an insurmountable hurdle, but there's also the context of the River Trail, the bike plan. I think that's going to carry a lot more weight because it's multi-jurisdictional, and I think that's kind of the ticket to try to get IDOT, because there'll be a more pressure on them because it is such a regional project. It's not Forest or any other municipality asking, hey, we're trying to connect all communities. I'll say no.
Jeff, do you know if the respect to the Des Plaines River Trail, if the suggested bike lane would be both north and south, or is it one lane? Do you know?
Monitors. I'm sorry, I'm not going to touch this because it's a big PDF.
There you go, John. Now you can
tries
see it.
Tries to die every time I.
One lane north.
So currently
south.
We're two lanes. They show two lanes. This is a parking lane going north and then a travel lane north, two travel lanes south. Proposing is bike lane north and south along the west edge of Thatcher Avenue. So we would kill one southbound lane completely, and you're left with one southbound lane for travel, one northbound lane for travel. You got a parking lane and a bike lane. It's all very conceptual at this point.
Interesting, other than the
fully curbed. It is fully curbed, though, too. This isn't just kind of striped off. The conceptual design that they show includes like a barrier curb between the two. And this would be the case between North Avenue and Chicago Avenue.
And by being multi-jurisdictional, get IDOT buy-in arguably.
More easily, I would assume. The idea would be that this goes all the way up to like Tule or something, and it comes down, would go through Forest Park to the Transit Center and the Prairie Path.
Yeah.
So this is the conceptual design. The last board meeting, the village board kind of was asked to restate their level of interest. They did. So I'm back to the consultant. This is the point. This is a project through CMAP and consultants. I told the consultant, yes, the village board is very much still interested in this project. So here, the path up to North Avenue will be completed, and then here would be design of this, assuming funding can be acquired. Technical design for River Forest and Forest Park would be completed, with construction really theoretically to take place next year or at some point.
That's the one.
The parking lane in front of all of your homes would remain.
They're both on the west side.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
Okay.
I just want to ask. Where's this funding? Whose pocket is that going to come
out? My understanding is that the funding that has been acquired for design and construction of the rest of this trail further north came through the state. Of course, it came from the top of my head, but someone who acquired those would then continue to acquire them for us and for us.
I'll ask one question of the board. Where can we direct, in your estimation, in your opinion, affects our efforts. We're like, we'll do whatever you guys
because
suggest.
This would be wonderful for us to
sure.
remove
on,
that lane.
On this front, and also just the broader
yeah.
as far as speed. Residents, where would you tell residents to go spend the
hard as it will be, I would say the best use of your time and your support would be to, once we get to a point where the technical design is complete and now we come back to traffic and safety to say, here's the project that's been designed. Does anybody have any questions? And we start to work out the details of it. Now we start to ramp up support from groups like yourselves, from Sustainability Commission, from groups like that, to really just show universal support throughout the village. That then we start to go, because we can't go to permitting to IDOT until we have technical. Not that that isn't good.
I just don't want to jump ahead of the.
Of course, of course. And like I say, I know it's going to be difficult to kind of wait,
control
but
ourselves.
Until
yeah.
that technical design is completed, I certainly don't want you spinning your wheels.
I have a related question, Mr. Glazer. Did you say that you had a you have a pole mounted radar in front of your house?
Our neighbors, 1115,
okay.
Was put in probably.
Okay.
And then, I mean, totally.
Yeah.
I think it slows traffic down. Yeah, and some are going northbound, slow down because they see how fast. Hopefully, there's more people learned about speeding. And then they slow down. And that's kind of my thought process is aggregate. You have all these things, the signs and all together that will
sure.
folks down.
Well, the reason I ask is because, Jeff, so do you know, will the radar mounted or will the pole mounted radar sign capture traffic going in the opposite direction?
Yes, I believe it captures
okay.
coming and going.
So I feel like, you know, sort of apropos of what we were talking about either before the meeting or right at the beginning, you know, if these things collect data and we can pull data off of them, I think this would be a perfect test case for us to do it. Because if there's going to come a time at which we're lobbying the Department of Transportation for action on our behalf, you know, on the street, it'd be great to have speed data that we can point to that we've collected over a really long period of time. So, I mean, I wonder if we couldn't use this pole-mounted
one
as sort
of
as sort of mm-hmm. the first test case. Like, let's, you know, see what it looks like to actually try to pull data off it, see how usable it is, and we can start building a database. I mean, we have people that can do this. I mean, obviously, I can help if I have any skills that would be relevant to it. But
no, certainly can talk to PD about that.
But it definitely seems like we should start building a case, because if we can go in addition to a lot of community support, we can go to the Department of Transportation and say, look, like, we also have evidence that we have some speed problems here that we need to resolve in the interest of safety to bikers and safety to the community. I think if we have a quantitative argument, it helps us a great deal.
A lot of irons in the fire over here, and we need to get on to the subject. In the meantime, we were told that they took a mounted radar sign down. Okay, so is that something that you can look into and see if it's being remounted? If it is a solar issue, can we remount it?
Anything, right? Yeah, if you all want to put in another radar feedback sign there, that's kind of a different story, right? It got taken down for a reason, could address that reason and hardwire something, but and I can guarantee it has been reinstalled somewhere else.
Okay.
So now we're at a point where
gotcha.
We would be putting a new one in.
Okay.
Again, not to say you couldn't do that, but that's something I would. We're kind of treating it like it's.
I'm going to pose a question here. So the fixed ones are about $15,000. How much are the trailers? I think didn't Dominican or Concordia bought one of the last ones for
That's
I think it was only like $20,000-$25,000, right?
I don't know off the top of my head, but that was also just a big number that we share with them. That's not a radar.
Oh, okay.
That's not a.
What I'm wondering is the portable radar, and even for that matter, the message, utilizing these more, where even if it's the message board that just says slow down on Thatcher, and, you know, stop means stop at Washington, we can start rotating those around. And if those trailers are not that much more than a fixed one, it'd be nice to get three or four or five or six of these around town, rotated around basis. Today, is the speed trailer even out today? I
at PD.
Yeah.
PD doesn't have one, though. I think they have.
Yeah, I think they have two.
I
want to
say
they have.
Oh, I thought they had like four or five
okay.
or something like
yeah.
that.
So
they have a few
yeah.
that they roll.
I think part of your conversation tomorrow should be those trailers should be out every day.
Trailer. Noticed on some of the signs, and I've noticed it on Thatcher, so I don't know if it's the one on the 11th block or if it was the one both of that. Flashes blue and red. I've noticed that when I'm driving, seeing the blue and red, right? You know, so I mean, it's
the idea.
Yeah, that is the idea. So
it's the other
does,
guy.
So that does work. I mean, so.
I think if you go a couple over the speed limit.
Well, yes, it sounds like there's sentiment in favor of continuing to try to use the trailer we have and to try to rotate it. Patrick, as we know that. No, there's been a lot more attention. What I saw has been installed on.
Yeah, there's one going east.
Eastbound, yeah, I
yeah.
saw that the other day.
By me,
Park
yeah, Avenue.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I guess the answer is, for this commission's interest in dialogue. Also be interested. We recognize limits on what IDOT or members of the commission ability for the village to pressure study included in that would be the. Of this proposal with respect to adding the bike lane.
We can stripe, and those are stripes.
Well.
Sure, and that, but that's something we can continue as part of our annual maintenance.
But there's stripes in, and we do have people.
Not anymore.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. I've lost your audio. I can't hear you guys at
Chad,
all.
Can you?
Can't hear you.
We can hear you.
Room, so I'm not sure.
Can somebody write a note in chat to Pat that we can hear you, Pat, but
if you have specific requests beyond sort of the bike lane, that's discussion for this group, but I think that needs to be a discussion that we have as part of the bike lane. I think comprehensively, some of the things, I don't want, so many efforts have been made in the last few years to talk about things comprehensively, so that it would serve anyone to start piecemealing things and then come through with a wide swath of a bike plan. At any point, you can ask this group whatever you'd like. It's up to them to determine what they take action on.
I would like. That would be what.
If it were, and you had asked for it on the 900, but if there is one on the 1100, if it was installed on the 800, would that be 800. Sufficient? You're, yeah.
I think we need one more.
I do like the idea of a crosswalk into the park there. I really do. And with that, so if they can push a button and then the yield to pedestrian so you can walk across, that would slow traffic and be a lot safer. But again, I don't know IDOT rules. Jeff knows about that. But I do love the idea. But maybe that will come comprehensively.
Right.
I know, but we could put a sign up on property. We could do that, but I think what is super relevant here is that there's a comprehensive study happening. There's an idea to do something with that specific strip. So we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, and here we are. But with regard to that signage, the what do we call those again?
Radar feedback sign.
Radar feedback sign. Write that down. I'm open.
I agree with John on this. Given that they're already going to do a village site full study, which will include Thatcher, plus there's almost a significant chance you'll get those bike lanes, which will automatically reduce the speed, because if you're going to put that kind of a concrete block blocking truck, I think spending another $15,000-$20,000 more on all this at this stage doesn't look very prudent. And plus, we'll probably need more signatures, because you did mention that Kathy, I don't know if she wanted it out or it got taken out. But I think at least we should normally get signatures from that whole 800, 900 block of people all saying, hey, this is something we need. But I think if you're okay with it, just give it some more time.
You have to go out to an RFP with it. That no, it has not been cast out for proposals yet. No.
Do the tracks slow down traffic near you?
Worse.
Worse.
I'm on one side of the track.
Nice and smooth now.
Well, I was going to suggest as a I was going to suggest that if they slowed down traffic, we could move the pole mounted radar feedback sign from the 1100 block to the 900 block. But then your neighbor would be upset, and then you
no,
don't.
No, won't be upset. No.
No, I think it's a different question Dave's asking. Is the sign
move it from 1100
is the sign on the 1100 block is effective?
Yeah, I'm saying if the sign on the 1100 block is not effective, if the signage and the road of the railroad tracks tempers some exuberant speeding a little bit, then I'm suggesting that in order to save some money, we could just take that radar feedback sign that's near your neighbor's house and move it two blocks south. And does it? Okay. Yeah, that may be. Yeah. I've never seen any car go only 25 or 30 on Thatcher
there's
myself.
Oh,
you're the
oh,
one.
Oh, me too. I'm 25. Oh, because I always have fun watching the cars.
Is there a proposal with respect to the radar feedback sign on the 800 or 900 block?
I don't know what Kathy did with the other sign. I want to look into that, but
we can use these signs to effectively collect data. I'm in favor of putting another one up, but we can maybe see what comes of the data that we see. But if they turn out to be very effective means of collecting real-time data on speed throughout the village, then I'm in favor of getting many more of them. Not.
Yeah, but many more. I was just talking to Jeff. There's a limited budget on the village, so every time you add four or five, that's $60,000 to our taxes. So nothing's free. We just can't add seven, eight of these $15,000 ones free of cost.
Right. Yeah. I think the only conclusion we have right now, your discussion tomorrow. Let's talk to Sheeple Che and have to figure out some additional enforcement there. And you're right, it used to be bad. My wife got a ticket for doing 31 down there, so back in the day.
And doesn't a police car, a lot of times I've noticed going to Costco, there's always a police car there on Thatcher.
Oh, that's because.
So there's no active police officer there.
So it sounds like there's obviously we can talk to the police and support your request for more enforcement. In the meantime, I think we can express the support of the commission for, you know, what sounds like is already underway, this RFP for the village-wide study, and that, of course, is part of the village-wide study in addition to Washington that we've talked about tonight, but that stretch of Thatcher, you know, should definitely be a feature, you know, part of it. And in the meantime, to the extent that there's ability, as they rotate the portable radar feedback signs that the village already does own, you know, we could continue to make sure that those get rotated through to Keystone, maybe with some more frequency, in the blocks immediately north of Chicago and south of the tracks. And it seems like those are at least some immediate short-term things that we can do as we kind of continue the dialogue that you guys suggested. The radar feedback, a pole-mounted radar feedback.
Pole-mounted.
radar.
And they would do a study again, and they'll check if the speed, what percentage of the speed. For example, the person we had today, right, when they put the same speed monitor on Keystone, the results actually said that the average speed was 5 miles slower than what the sign was saying.
But, yeah, but I think that shows that's because there's a bias. When you put that thing up, people slow down. That happens, I think, everywhere we do the KOA study.
For some context, too, when we do the study, they do speed counts. But that is something that we can make sure that they incorporate into the study, is specific speed counts in that stretch, too. So we don't have to just kind of blend that in and we'll take speed data from anywhere in the village and apply it here. We can specifically request speed data as part of this study at that location.
Thanks, guys.
It's enforcement again. Just don't pay attention.
Hours?
No, all time. No, yeah, no left from Hatcher onto Augusta. No.
No left turn.
Yep.
Yeah. I've never seen it either.
Well, so that we could put that on the list just for some additional enforcement. So thank you for coming in, and Julie Patterson, you've been very patient. Would you like to take the podium?
I've got two things.
Okay.
Ann was here. Live right around the corner.
Well, I just arguing with the police car pulling in right.
Leaving my house. He got the ticket.
I hope you paid the ticket. I hope you paid it.
Don't forget about the deer crossing on Augusta and over to the. It hurt.
All right, Ms. Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Thanks, Don. Hi, Ms. Patterson. Thanks for being patient.
Oh, I've been. My name is Julie Patterson, 7575 Lake Street, 2D. My remarks will be brief because just about everything that I was going to say has been said already. I'm going to throw in two other comments about Lake and Lathrop. The first thing I wanted to cover was my pedestrian car incident on February 9th of 22, and I will give you the very short version in which I pressed climb on south side of they're going to cross in the cross. Three times a day, and I know where to stand. So appreciative of Jess, Lisa, and Chief O'Shea for their quick response to my comments, they've heard enough from me to know that I am so concerned about safety and the added benefit. And I'm not sure, Jeff, if you sent them over, but Public Works came over with their bulldozer and cleared the whole ADA ramp, which we'd love to have. Anyway, that's the, and Lisa and Jeff have, and I believe the chief have all of the details about that. And they all suggested that I come back here to just report that to you. My second topic is overall traffic flow in River Forest. And some of it was predicated on what Jeff had said, and I read in the Wednesday Journal about the village or the village board okaying the comprehensive traffic study. I was here, I've been coming to meetings since 2016, not always these, but I was here when you were working on the safe walking routes to school. And based on input from us as residents, there were a couple of stop signs with the flashing light, the solar stop signs put in at Ashland and Central. And I can't remember where else, but I think that they helped. So, but then people get used to them and they blow through them.
I heard that some people don't like.
No, the people who it's flashing in the window or other people, but I really truly do think that they have helped and continued to help. What else? My second point is that construction at Lake and Lathrop should be beginning soon. Alpha Construction invited condos and businesses in the Lake Lathrop area to a neighborhood meeting on Monday, January 24th, 2022. The purpose of the meeting was to give an overview of upcoming construction at Lake and Lathrop and to provide the opportunity for neighbors to ask questions. I feel that it was a positive meeting, and I brought this up at the last village, one of the village board meetings, but not all of the condos felt that way. The highlights, I shared my concerns with Ed from Alpha, and the representative from Sedgwick was Kyle somebody, I'm not sure his last name, that Lake and Lathrop is a busy intersection. There are three schools, a church, and a grocery store within walking distance. There are students and seniors crossing, including several visually impaired people. And drivers just do not pay attention while crossing through the intersection. So to the strollers, kids, et cetera, that everybody else has mentioned, I'm adding seniors in there who move slowly with canes, et cetera. Ed was wonderful. He said they will try to avoid deliveries during school crossing hours. He can't guarantee it. And they may add, he had several ideas of what they could do. And however, where was I? I know. As part of that, one of my neighbors asked if there were going to be, was going to be advanced warning of traffic detours when equipment and materials are moving through Lake and Lathrop, because that's a very complicated, tight intersection. And we've already had, first day, we already had dump trucks in the wrong place, and Jeff, right on the spot. She was referring to the fact that when IDOT was redoing the railroad crossing at First Avenue, there was a traffic alert in the e-news that mentioned alternate routes. Well, we happened to notice, and nobody could figure out at first why all of a sudden we had all this traffic on Lathrop. Well, lo and behold, we come to find that out. And then I was reading through those, and the alternate detours were just not real good choices, especially since people speed through. So, all of these points are village-wide, and I'm so glad that you're going to do the comprehensive study, because I think what happened with the Safe Walking Routes study is KLOA came back and had suggestions, and they said, do this here, do this here, do this here, stripe here, this will be adequate here, and it really seems to have helped. So there's no going to be no easy solution to this, and I appreciate you listening to all of us who live close to Lake and Lathrop, and now adding the northeast corner, the southwest corner, everybody. So my last question is, it seems to me that there's new signage up at Lake and Lathrop, one of which is no right turn on red when pedestrians are present. And my question is, and I've always understood that pedestrians have the right of way at an intersection, provided they follow the pedestrian crossing signals. My question is, what if there are pedestrians waiting at the corner to cross, but they have not entered into the crosswalk? I Googled it, and there was a section from the River Forest Police Department. It went right there, and it said RLC. Frequently asked questions. I'm not sure what RLC means, but that was the headline. And it stated, unless the intersection is marked otherwise, such as no turn on red, Illinois allows motorists to turn right on a red after coming to a complete stop. Good luck. A red light is exactly like a stop sign. You must stop before turning. This is my question. Intersection must also be clear of pedestrians in the walkway before safely turning right. Now, when I come to no turn on red when pedestrians are present, I stop and wait for the pedestrians to cross. And so legally, is it they have to follow that no turn when people are at the crosswalk waiting to cross? Or, as my husband said, do they have to put the pedestrian have to put their toe in there and then they have to stop? So I also Googled it and came up with, I'm not sure it was the right place, from the Illinois compiled statutes website for the Illinois General Assembly, and they say the same thing. So I'm just curious as to that. I'd never really thought about it before. And they,
my understanding is that the I don't believe the red light, the no turn when pedestrian present signage, that's not new. I don't, we haven't installed anything new.
No, that's very old.
Right.
Okay.
That's been consistent.
Okay.
And then my understanding is that that sign kind of trumps whether somebody sticks their toe in the crosswalk or not. If there is
okay.
a pedestrian present,
okay.
that kind of now you can't turn all of a sudden. Chief
okay.
O'Shea would certainly be a better resource on that, but that's my understanding of it.
Okay. All right. That's good. Because sometimes on Lake and Lathrop, it's not practical, especially
Thank
if
you.
I'm crossing north to south on the east side. If somebody's right at the corner and wanting to turn, I let them go first because otherwise they're backed up all the way to Central. I mean, there's got to be courtesy on both parts. And then the last thing I was going to comment is I think it's ironic that those of us who are on foot are the ones who seem to be on the defensive and trying to figure out, I mean, how can we educate the drivers? They're the ones who are forcing our hand to come up with all of these solutions, where if they were courteous and followed safety and speed rules, then we wouldn't be here. Thank you very much, and thank you for all you do.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome. I'll be back.
Any other business for the commission tonight?
I can dream up.
Talk about in person versus.
Well, yes, all I would say is that I think, Pat, can you hear us now?
Yes, I can. You fade in
okay.
and out. Yes, I can.
You know, if in the next meeting is scheduled for May, right? Do you think you'll be able to be in person in May?
If my husband's back is better and his surgeon allows us to travel, we will.
Okay.
I can't say just yet. He's had back surgery, and it's.
And I should know better what the rules are with respect to COVID in the States. In my day job, we enforce those all the time, but. You know, I think we all experienced
in our last meeting, when we've tried to do a meeting by, you know, in a hybrid manner where we're partly online and partly in person, that's highly difficult. And so at least my own preference would be that we either try to be all in person to the best we can, or all Zoom. And, you know, but we'd also want to accommodate, you know, Pat or others, you know, who have to participate, I guess, if we have the capacity to to accommodate people to participate remotely, whether it's Pat or anyone else, we should do that. But I guess I just expressed my own personal preference. I appreciate everybody for being here tonight, and you know, wanted to open up, see if you guys feel the same way, that it, to the extent we can, that we try to meet in person.
Absolutely. I think
my apologies, gentlemen. I apologize. I was hoping that our,
you know, Pat, I think that we understand that if you need to be remote, you need to be remote. And it's not a criticism of you or anyone else that needs to be remote. I just think, you know, you've experienced this yourself, and that when we're doing it both ways, it's just difficult. Yeah. And so, I think we'll continue to accommodate both methods, but with a preference toward being in person if we can.
I agree with that.
That's good.
Anything else for the good of the order?
So, were we supposed to do anything with her? I mean, I didn't get it today.
I don't think so.
Okay.
It was just public comment. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
I would make that motion.
So moved.
All right. Thanks,
second.
Pat.
You can hear me?
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
So we'll see everybody.